and radio, 93.5, 95.3.
And it's Friday. You know what that means. It's Bill Melberg, ladies and gentlemen, America's best and most entertaining political humorist and satirist at an evening with thepresidents.com. Bill Melberg, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fine. Good morning, Stevie J. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
And good morning, ESPN radio listeners.
Well, Bill, this has turned out to be another busy news week. And we'll be turning to some of those news stories in just a few moments. But first, we're going to enjoy a rare interview with former President George W. Bush, a.k.a. number 43. Since he was the 43rd president of the United States, his father, a.k.a. number 41, was the 41st president of the United States. In any case, ladies and gentlemen, it's an awesome opportunity to welcome President Bush, number 43.
At night are big and bright deep in the heart of Texas.
He has not granted very many interviews since he left office nearly 4 years ago, but he's joining us today to answer some of our listeners' questions. Good morning, Mr. President.
Yeah, good morning, Stevie and Diane, and good morning, ESPN radio listeners. It's a pleasure to be with you all, and I'm looking forward to answering some of your listeners'
questions.
Yes, sir.
Well, Mr. President, let's start out with a question from Lou Lie in Champaign, who asks the following: Is it true that you were once considered for the job of baseball commissioner?
Well, Lou, if I may call him Lou.
Yeah, go right ahead, sir. Mr. Lie is a good friend of mine. I'm sure he'd be happy to have you address him as Lou.
All right. Well, Lou, that is a good question. And as you probably know, I was a managing partner of the Texas Rangers baseball franchise. And when the position of baseball commissioner opened up in the early 1990s, my name appeared on a short list of potential candidates to fill the job. And believe me, I would have jumped at the opportunity. But things didn't quite pan out as I would have liked, so instead of becoming Commissioner Bush, I became Governor Bush, and then I became President Bush. But Stevie and Diane and Lou, there were times during my eight momentous years as president, there were times during my 8 years in the White House that I kind of wished I'd been Commissioner Bush instead of President Bush.
Yeah.
And according to the opinion polls back then, quite a few other people wished I'd been Commissioner Bush instead of President Bush, too.
All right. Well, let's move on to our next question, which comes from one of our younger ESPN radio listeners, Benjamin Kachaturian in Champaign.
Great kid.
Yeah. And Benjamin asks, Mr. President, do you know the historical reason, if any, why fire engines are painted red?
That's an interesting question, and it's quite ironical that Benjamin should ask that question, because that's the same exact question that Russian President Vladimir Putin, I called him Rootin' Tootin' Putin, that's the same question Vladimir Putin asked me back in 2001 during our first summit meeting.
Well, did you know the answer?
No, I didn't, but I'll never forget old Rootin' Tootin's answer.
Which was
this: fire engines are red because 6 times 2 is 12. There are 12 inches in a ruler. Queen Elizabeth is a ruler. Queen Elizabeth is also the name of a ship. Ships sail on the sea. The sea has fish. Fish have fins. The fins fought the Russians. The Russians were red, and that's why fire engines are red, because they're Russian all over.
Well, I hope that answers Benjamin's question. I must say, Mr. President, you have quite a good memory to remember that answer.
But, Stevie, that's the kind of important information that a president simply doesn't forget.
All right, moving right along, our next question comes from one of our Internet listeners, Dennis Sullivan in Park Ridge, Illinois, who asks, Mr. President, like most Americans, including Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi, I haven't had the time or the legal expertise to read all 2,700 pages of the Affordable Care Act, better known as Obamacare. Can you please summarize the provisions of Obamacare for us in three words or less?
Yes, I can. Don't get sick.
That was a short answer, and here's our next question. Mary Smith in Philo writes the following, Mr. President, unemployment continues to plague millions of Americans. I know you have an MBA from the Harvard Business School, so I wonder if you could describe the root cause of unemployment for us.
Well, Mary Smith and Philo, first of all, let me say that's a question I can relate to personally. Because like so many other Americans, I have been unemployed ever since Barack Obama took office as president. But to answer Mary's question more specifically, you don't need an MB whatchamacallit from Harvard to describe the root cause of unemployment. I think President Calvin Coolidge described it best in 1929 when he said, and I quote, "When many people are out of work, the result is unemployment." And I hope that answers Mary's question. I can't put it any better than that.
I'm sure it does, sir. And now let's go to a somewhat related question from Paula Eastman in Antioch, Illinois. Paula asks, Dear Mr. President, now that you're no longer president and no longer carrying the awesome responsibilities of the presidency on your shoulders every day, how are you sleeping at night?
Well, howdy, Paula, in Antioch, Illinois, and let me just say to you that I sleep like a baby. Correct that. I sleep like a Democrat. First I lie on one side, and then I lie on the other. Just kidding.
And
47%.
And more true words are said in jest, as the old saying goes. But
yep.
Here's another related question from Scott Hall in Hillsdale, Michigan, who asks, what are you doing now that you're no longer president? Where do you and Mrs. Bush spend most of your time?
Well, Stevie, I'd like to answer that question with a song, if I may.
Oh, yes, sir. That'd be great.
All right. You ready for it?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to have to sing it
acapella?
Rockefeller, yes. by myself, without any accompaniment.
Yeah, got it.
So let's go here. Oh, now I'm back home where the Texans all roam and the Cowboys and Rangers both play, where seldom is heard a disparaging word, 'cause my critics are now far away. I'm home on my ranch, and I couldn't care less about France. My problems are few, Laura's doing good too, and our skies are not cloudy all day.
Oh, Mr. President, that was wonderful, wonderful.
Thank you.
And now, if you don't mind, sir, I'm going to ask you one more question.
All righty.
And this question is my own. What can the American people expect in the weeks and months and years ahead, especially if Barack Obama wins re-election?
Stevie, I'd like to answer that question with a biblical verse from the Bible.
Yes, sir.
And in particular, from the Sermon on the Mount and the eight
Beatitudes.
What's that?
Beatitudes. The eight Beatitudes.
Yes, sir. Thank you. The eight attitudes. And I'd like to add a ninth attitude.
All right.
Blessed are those who expect nothing, for they shall never be disappointed.
And on that note, I'd like to thank President George Walker Bush for kindly joining us this morning and answering our listeners' questions.
That's fun.
Well, it's great to
My
have...
My pleasure, Steve and Diane.
And ladies and gentlemen, again, we wave goodbye to George W. Bush. Thank you, sir, again for your time.
Where the buffalo roam.
And now it's time for our weekly Point Counterpoint segment. Senator John McCain, Republican Arizona, Congressman Barney Frank, Democrat Massachusetts. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Stevie, my friend. Good morning, Diane, my friend.
Good morning.
Hello, Stevie. Hello, Diane.
Hello.
Gentlemen, earlier this week, a tape was revealed of at a fundraising event at which Mitt Romney talked about the 47% of Americans who don't pay any income tax. A political firestorm followed the release of that tape because Governor Romney said that many of those people would automatically vote for the president. And he added that he's only worried about the 53% who do pay income taxes. Or, more specifically, he said he's worried about 50% of the voters plus one. In other words, his concern at the moment is winning the election. Is the media making a mountain out of a molehill? Or has this story hurt Mitt Romney's quest for the presidency? We begin with Congressman Barney Frank.
Stevie and Diane, once again, Mitt Romney has revealed his true colors. The only people Mitt Romney cares about are his witch friends. Everyone else is a nobody in Mitt Romney's mind. That's why he and Paul Ryan want to push widow old ladies in wheelchairs over cliffs and kick kids out of college.
Senator McCain?
Stevie, my friend, Governor Romney was simply telling the truth, and some people can't handle the truth. But the truth is, not only do 40% of Americans not pay any income taxes, but 49% of Americans receive some form of government benefit, some sort of government entitlement, food stamps, for instance. And that number has gone up from 4 years ago in large measure because of the Obama economy. To be fair, my friends, many of those Americans, the 49%, are receiving benefits they paid for, Social Security, for example. And many other Americans who are getting government benefits would rather be getting a paycheck than a welfare check. And that was Governor Romney's point. He believes the best way to help people is by expanding the economy to produce jobs, good jobs, private sector jobs, jobs that would generate more tax revenues for the government by collecting more tax dollars from more working people. Basically, it's called capitalism.
Congressman Frank, you get the last word, sir.
Stevie, I don't care what you call it. Mitt Romney is a mean man who stuck his dog on top of his car and bullied other boys when he was a kid and who likes to fire people. He's just plain evil. However, as I've said many times before, I do like his rugged good looks.
We'll have to leave it there, gentlemen. Thank you both for being our friend of the show, Congressman Frank, Senator McCain.
Thank you for being a friend.
When we come back, we'll be hearing a public service announcement from President Barack Obama that you don't want to miss. ESPN Radio, 93.5, 95.3. ESPN Radio, we're back. Political humorist Bill Melberg in Chicago. But before we talk with Bill, here is a public service announcement from our President Barack Obama.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message. My fellow Americans, election officials are telling us that this year's election could generate a record turnout of voters at the polls, which in turn could generate record long lines of people waiting to vote. In order to alleviate this problem, I am suggesting that voters abide by the following procedure, which we have always recommended in Chicago. Democrats should go to the polls to cast their votes on Tuesday, November 6th. Republicans, the 49% or 50, whatever, should go to the polls on Wednesday, November 7th. That way, I believe we can eliminate the long, frustrating waiting lines that experts are predicting for the polling places this year. By the way, this system has always worked beautifully in Chicago. So once again, Democrats, the 47%, should go to the polls on Tuesday, November 6th. And Republicans, the whatever percent, should go to the polls on Wednesday, November 7th. Thank you for your cooperation. Michelle reminds you, don't eat too much, and don't forget to vote.
Well, there you have it. President Obama's solution to the long lines that are expected in places in November.
Alrighty, then.
And in our closing moments, we're now back to political humorous Bill Melberg in Chicago. And, certainly if the Republicans voted November 7th, there would be no lines because there's very few Republicans in Chicago.
Well, certainly very few that vote.
Yeah. You know,
but let's just hope that the Illini are the 51% over Louisiana.
Yeah,
exactly. Well, my friend, and you are my friend.
Well, you are my friend, too.
Thank you for your time, Bill.
Askewawa.